there are days where there are weeks even where I'm not inspired and I know that I have to just keep going, but there'll be one day, 1 hour, one thing that happens and it will light up the spark again. And then I'll get my inspiration from those moments.
Welcome to Someone Like You, a podcast that highlights the experiences of women, immigrants, and people of color who are building empires, creating amazing things, and changing the world. Here, we celebrate underrepresented stories and unheard voices. In this episode, I chat with Ashley Simmons-Peat, founder of Simmons PR, a PR agency serving Australian fashion brands in the US. We talk about kindness, making big leaps, staying inspired, and being a Black Australian woman in the fashion industry.
I usually don't do the interviews because I'm the one like scheduling them for my clients.
Right.
Normally I say no, but I was like, oh, it's just Liz. It's a friend, you know. So I thought I'll get into it with you and have a little chat. I've got extra time, obviously everyone does right now. So
it's exciting for me to learn more about you. I know I've known you obviously through basketball and like admired you from afar. So I'm gonna interrogate you a little bit in terms of your life and how you got where you are today. You know, you grew up in Australia. What was your childhood like?
I say we had a pretty good childhood. Like we had, my dad, obviously my dad played basketball. So we moved around a lot, mm-hmm. just from within Australia from city to city. So I kind of got good at getting to a new school and making friends
pretty
easily. So I think that's something that's helped me later down the track because I went to about 5 schools.
Wow.
So if my dad signed with a new team, we'd have to leave. So that would be like a new school, new basketball team, new basketball squad and friends, so like both school. So 2 different settings where I'd have to make friends.
Wow.
But then also growing up in Australia as, African-American kids, we stood out a lot.
Yeah.
So we'd go to a school and often my sister and I were the only 2 people of color in the whole school.
Wow.
So that was something that, we just kind of took in our stride, but looking back now, I kind of see how that would have been a lot harder than we initially realized. So just not having anyone that looked like us. Other than that, Australia's an amazing place to grow up. There's free healthcare, there's amazing nature, and it's an easy way of life, I'd say, compared to what I've seen and what I've heard about growing up in America.
Have you always wanted to work in fashion since you were a kid?
Yes, I have. I have kind of always been a little bit out there with my own style and stuff that I would do as a kid. I always was kind of doing what I wanted and not really caring what other people thought as far as what I would wear and things like that.
And that just came naturally to you?
Yeah, I think my parents were just very encouraging with letting us be our own person.
Mm.
So I just kind of took that and ran with it. And then I had my first job was in a retail store. So just a fashion boutique kind of thing. And then from there, I just was studying at university. And then that, with what I was studying, I kind of decided to combine the two, my love of fashion and then also communications.
Oh, okay. And mm-hmm. So you always had an interest in communications as well, or a talent for it?
I think English was just always my best subject. And from going from school to school, I just found that I was able to communicate with people from all different walks of life. I'd be able to talk to someone that's a bit older, an elderly person as a kid, but also someone much younger, or somebody that, you know, I don't really have anything in common with. I'd just be able to talk to them easily and communicate clearly, and you know, it would just was something that I enjoyed doing. Like, I loved meeting people and being able to chat with them and make them feel comfortable around me.
Yeah, that sounds really huge for what you do today and building those relationships.
Yeah, actually, now I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes complete sense. Doing what I'm doing.
That's so funny. So you started at a boutique. How did you kind of break into the PR side of the industry?
Once I started in the clothes store, like, I made a couple of connections with people, and I got my first internship when I was still in school.
Okay.
I was probably, and I started university quite young in Australia, so I was 17 when I started. So I think my first internship, I was 18, and I worked in like a beauty, because I was interested in beauty too, but, you know, in Australia there's a lot less options, so I kind of took what I could get. And then, you know, obviously in school they encourage you to take these internships, and I went to like one corporate PR firm, which I hated, but I just knew I had to get through because it was, you know, counting towards my school credits.
Right.
And then the beauty one I loved, and that's kind of where I found my little, you know, I found my feet, and I was like, okay, yeah, I can do this. And then, you know, that's where I kind of got my idea to do an internship in New York at a fashion PR agency.
Oh, okay.
So I got that internship while I was still in Australia, and I had to like figure out how to leave Australia within a couple of months.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, obviously internships back then, especially, were unpaid.
Sure.
I just had to figure my stuff out really fast and get over there.
So how did you make that work? Like, were you scared? What? It was like a huge leap.
I think I was about 21. Yeah. Cause I hadn't actually, before I moved to New York, I hadn't actually been to New York.
Okay.
So I moved to New York when I was 21. I'd already finished college because I started so early. So I hadn't found out if I'd graduated or not. I just looked at jobs and I was like, there's nothing in Australia that makes me want to work here. And then because of my dad being American, I had that dual citizenship. So I took that and just kind of ran with it. I was living at home, because in Australia you really stay at home through college. You don't like go to another state or city like how a lot of Americans do with like their college. So I had been living at home and I had money saved, and I just worked like double shifts, like crazy hours for like a couple of months. Saved enough, but not a lot, you know. So I had to get a job when I got to New York really fast, but, you know, I also had to do my internship hours. So I had about 3 jobs at one stage, including my, like, not including my internship. So, it was a little bit crazy, but I made it work. It was just a lot of hours and a lot of work when I first got there.
Grinding.
Yeah.
So at that point, did you know that you wanted to have your own agency?
Not really. I was kind of just, you know, I was learning so much. I was kind of just, you know, trying to find my way in New York. Like, I didn't have any friends or anything. You know, so the people I was meeting at my internship, like, they were my first friends I ever had in New York. So I didn't really, like, in my mind, I guess I was just trying to take in as much as I could and, you know, climb up the ladder, I guess, while I was there.
And so how long did you stay in New York?
I interned for about 9 months, and then I got like a freelance position that then turned into full-time at IMG. So I think I was in New York for about 3.5 years.
Okay. And then how did that decision come to be to make the leap and go off on your own?
I knew that I wanted to leave New York. And, you know, LA was always going to be like the next kind of step for me. And really in fashion, there's not many other areas you can go. And even back then, LA was like, there's no fashion in LA. But since then, so many things have happened in the industry here to kind of change that view. But I moved to Australia for a couple of months just to like save again, to make the move again to LA. So I moved back home for a little bit. And then while I was home, you know, I got like another like corporate job just to save to come back to LA for a couple of months. And I just was like, I'm not passionate about this. This is not like for me to be working at my little cubicle for like 12 hours a day. Like I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And the only thing like that was getting me through that like little, you know, communications assignment I had was the thought of going back to America and coming back to LA and starting fresh.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. But it took me a long time to get my first client. So
what, when you said you hated it, you weren't passionate about it, what did you want that was different? Was it being your own boss, the freedom? Like what were you really attracted to that you weren't getting fulfilled by in those corporate jobs?
I think it was just being my own boss and the freedom. Because a lot of the time in the corporate world, if you're not in a certain role, they don't allow you to speak on your ideas or your thought process. And a lot of the companies that I was working in, even in New York, in fashion, the company cultures, I just really like did not like the way they treated people. Specifically the interns, you know, because I was an intern experiencing that. And so for me, it was like I wanted to create something where, you know, I loved getting up for work. I wanted to go into work and see my team. You know, I wanted something that was just, you know, exciting and not so negative all the time. I don't know. I felt that in the corporate world, it was very you know, big fish. Yeah. If you're not in this certain role or rank, you can't really speak on your ideas or your.
So what was it like in the beginning? You said it took a long time to land your first client, which I believe has since completely blown up. But, you know, what were the early days like?
A lot of no's. A lot of people saying like, you can't do this. Why would you come and try to, you just moved to LA. Why would you try to start your agency now? Like a lot of that sort of stuff. I actually like really launched it while I was still in Australia with, you know, I had to move back to my parents' house and, you know, like after living in New York, that was hell.
Yeah.
Coming back, living with my parents, like I started it in my parents' like little study. Like I had like one little area of desk that was mine, and that's where like I bought the website. I you know, just started my email, started my outreach, knowing that in a couple of months my plan was to get back to LA. So yeah, lots of no's, lots of people like questioning why I thought I had enough experience to do this, which really I didn't. Like I was just winging it. But yeah, so yeah, just a lot of like negativity, I would say, around me coming and doing something so risky in a new city. You know, LA is its own beast. Like New York is insane, but LA is still, you know, a hard city to tackle.
So how did you cope with all that negativity and keep going?
I would say a lot of it honestly had a lot to do with my faith. Just being able to like persevere, be able to rely on God and know that he would open the right doors for me. And, you know, even though a lot of people were negative about it, my parents were always really helpful with like just believing in me and, you know, keeping me positive and upbeat. Cause you know, it's hard to have your parents on the other side of the world when you're really young.
Yeah.
And you know, they're always like a phone call away and so I really lent on them as far as like having support that I didn't physically have in LA when I first got here.
I was going to ask, because I know that family is really huge for you. Your parents have been together for many, many years. You work together. So I would imagine that's been a really grounding force in your life. How has your family helped you get where you are today?
I think it just, it goes back to like the stuff that my parents kind of instilled in my sister and I, where, you know, we were our own people. We didn't follow the crowds. And then also in that aspect of like the company cultures that I really didn't like, that went back to what I grew up with my parents instilling in us that everybody was equal, that we weren't better than anybody else and nobody was better than us. So I feel like that kind of shaped what the way that I went about making my business and everything is. A lot of it comes from the values that my parents kind of put in us, and also, you know, then my faith as well.
And has that helped you navigate the fashion industry, you know, being a Black woman in an industry not known for its diversity, as well as kind of coming from Australia into New York, into LA? Do you think that those family values have helped you kind of?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I also think, you know, one thing that people were kind of like surprised by was how much I didn't fit into the package of what they thought an Australian girl should be and should kind of like look like. So, you know, I've got, they're used to the, you know, kind of like the blonde surfer girl. And then here I was, this like 6 foot Black Australian girl that like obviously sounded like I was from Australia, but didn't look anything like I was from Australia. So I think, that just, it kind of shocked people. And then like, once they got over that initial reaction, you know, they kind of just took me for the work that I was willing to kind of just put in, you know. And that's what I loved about America. I felt like, you know, if you worked hard, you had the opportunity to get really far. And I just didn't really feel that in Australia.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. So as you've kind of navigated from just starting, getting your first client, what are some of the other challenges you faced? Now you're 5 years in?
Yeah, 5 years in from my company, and like about next year will be 10 years in just like fashion PR.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, it's very stressful sometimes. But it's when you look back, you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, you forget kind of some of the things you've been through to get to where you're at.
Sure. So what are some of those challenges that you feel like have made you stronger along the way?
I think dealing with a lot of, I'd say like more learning financial things. So like figuring out how to register an LLC, like I had to go through all of that. I had to find like a tax accountant that I could even afford, you know? And that was like the biggest learning curve, because people think, oh, you've got a business, you must be making really great money. And at the start, initially, like I was literally just getting by and breaking even, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I think financially that was probably one of the challenges I found, because I didn't have like parents that gave me, oh, here's like $5,000-$10,000, go start your company.
Right.
You know, I started with like, I had $250. Like I bought myself some business cards, you know, got a domain and set up my email account. So that's what I had, you know, to start. And so for me, yeah, it was just like the teaching myself like what I kind of needed to pay myself. Cause I think a lot of the time with entrepreneurs, it's like, well, I'm making this much money, so how much, you forget to actually take out like yourself, you know, cause you're so busy like worrying about like paying the bills and, you know, whatever, like taxes and things you need, like products and like, and things like that. So figuring out like how to pay myself was a big thing. And then also, just like being really careful about who you trust.
Okay.
Because I think, you know, early on when you're new to business, there's a lot of people that can see your experience or where you're at as like an opportunity for themselves. And you just have to be careful about who you let in and really trust your gut with who you surround yourself with, especially in those early days, because there's going to be so many opinions and so many people that either want to cut or want to be in on what you're doing.
Sure. Do you feel like that's even more so in the fashion or PR industry? I know that sometimes those get a bad rap in terms of like people being personable. But at the same time, I know you're super genuine, super down to earth. So what has it been like for you to navigate kind of relationships and people in that industry?
I think the biggest thing that was like, was tough for me was when I said something, I definitely meant it, and not everybody was the same. I would, you know, if I said I could get somebody like a sample or I could get something on time, you know, I never really made promises I couldn't keep. So I think that was kind of something for me. It was, that was tough, how, you know, figuring out that other people didn't operate that way. But I've, you know, I just, overall, I think it's just being nice to people, you know. From when I was an intern, like, I have people that are now like, were also interns, and, you know, we used to run the samples all over New York from magazine to magazine back in the day before these bike messengers were around. And I would, you know, the girls that I met back then are now like market editors or, you know, senior market editors at some of the big magazines. And they just remember me because I was always nice to them. It really does. I know it sounds cheesy and corny, but it really goes a long way to be nice. Like, I've always, you know, I've never had an instance where I've been rude to somebody, or, you know, obviously, like, you know, it's a high pressure job, so there's times where, you know, things get heated, or like, you're, you know, stressed out with deadlines, but the, you know, there's never a need to be rude. And I think, you know, now in, especially in the fashion industry, that kind of, you know, that gets forgotten, that it doesn't cost anything to be nice to people. That's it. And I think that's what's happened with, as far as me surviving, it's just like holding on to that kind of, just be nice, don't make promises you can't keep, and just work hard, really. It's what it comes down to.
I love that. It's great values. Mm-hmm. So what have been some of the major milestones and high moments as you've built your business?
I think the biggest moments have been, honestly, more so for my brands than myself. Because when you work so hard for somebody, or for a, you know, a collection, or a show or something, you know, I think what then seeing that brand like really grow, those have been those milestone moments for me. Like, when my client, her very first placement was Vogue.
Wow.
And, you know, and she told me she wanted to go down that route of being seen in the higher end publications. And I just was very careful about who I reached out to, who I did, who I put the collection on. And, yeah, her very first placement was Vogue. And then recently she got on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list. That was a huge achievement for her. And, you know, in a sense, being a publicist, that's also, I feel, something for me that, you know, I was working towards, because you're really working behind the scenes for somebody else's, like, brand exposure and placements, you know. So those were two big ones. And then another one was obviously getting like my office loft that I'd always about,
It looks so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I haven't seen it in so long now, but yeah. And then just getting this, I guess one of the biggest ones was this shoewear brand that I wore since I was a teenager in Australia, them coming into the showroom. That was like a huge milestone for me, just knowing that, you know, I could work with these big household brands and not like the emerging ones. I think for me, that kind of made me realize like, oh wow, like you can do this, and these brands aren't you know, too far for your reach. Like they're within your reach, and you're more than qualified to kind of take them on. So
wow. So I like the way you said that, because to me, you know, as an outsider looking in, I look at you and you seem like a total boss. But it seems like, you know, do you feel that way? Do you still feel like you haven't gotten where you want to get yet? Like, how do you feel about where you're at right now in your career?
I feel like I'm nowhere near where I really want to be, as far as like, more so, I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, because I've never been somebody to be like, ah, oh, great, I'm here, I'm comfortable, this is cozy, I'm going to stay here. I've never been like that. I'm like, okay, well, what's next now? You know, right. So obviously with everything that's going on now, like when he said that question, I had to think about it for a bit, because, you know, with the way, like the current climate of what's going on in the world,
yeah.
I'm not really, you know, it's just making me rethink everything about where I thought I wanted to be and what I thought I wanted to do. So I've kind of like taken stuff right back down to like ground level, and I'm reevaluating everything to do with my business and figuring out if this business model from 5 years ago is work today in 2021 and 2025, like figuring out what that looks like and what is a necessity in what I'm doing and what things, you know,
don't
be done anymore. So yeah.
It seems like that's the key to continuing to grow and evolve and stay successful.
Exactly. And like not being afraid to go back a couple of steps to take 10 to 15 forward.
Yeah.
I think people are always scared about like, you know, if they have to scale back, if, you know, obviously everybody, if you're a small business owner right now, everybody has to, even corporations have to. So I think like not being afraid to not look successful, you know, and just make sure that you really are doing what needs to be done for your business and for your staff. And, but yeah, I think sometimes I kind of forget like that people do see me that way. 'Cause in my mind, like, you know, you can be very insecure and in your head when you've got so much riding on your performance and your business, because, you know, it's easy to pick things out when you're a perfectionist or you're OCD about things. And so I think there's days where I wake up and I'm like, yep, I'm a boss, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna get this brand, I'm gonna do. And there's other days where I'm like, what am I doing? Fuck it. I just think like I'm grateful for both, because it helps me be humble enough to learn and want to learn and not just think that I know everything, you know?
So. Yeah. Oh, that's so real. I feel like every entrepreneur can relate to that.
Yes.
I'm curious, because you've taken what seem like a lot of really scary leaps, but you haven't necessarily talked about fear. Is that something that you think about, or that you know, how do you cope with fear or, you know, taking big risks?
Yeah, I would say the fear is kind of there. It's always kind of there, but I kind of silence it myself with trying to, you know, the same way that like I wake up some days and I'm insecure. Like I feel like that comes from a place of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that I get through that is that I acknowledge it, but I don't let it control my decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I try my best to not make fear-based decisions, I just sit with that fear. I acknowledge where it's coming from or why it might be there. But I don't let that dictate the path that I choose or what, you know, what decision I make.
I love that. I would say that that is one of the keys to your success. What do you think are some of the other keys to your success so far?
I think we touched on a couple of it. I think the number one thing is just being kind. Mm-hmm. And I think my integrity as far as like a business owner, you know, now being a boss and dealing with so many people like day to day, I think that it really comes down to integrity. Because if you're not operating the way you know, that is in a good and positive way, then you're not going to have staff and loyal people that will stay with you. Because, you know, I spent so many years working alone. And then once I finally was able to bring people onto my team, it's like you can go so much further when you have those people that are willing to work hard with you.
Right.
And I think, I just think that was kind of super, super important.
How did you make that shift or that level up? How did you know it was time to do so? I know that even for me, thinking about that in the future, it's a scary proposition, but I know it's a necessity. Mm-hmm. Bringing on people, expanding your team when you just can't do it alone.
I think when you get to that point where you are like the weight of your shoulders is too much to bear. And I know like as an entrepreneur, you want to carry that and mm-hmm. you feel like it's your duty and it's so hard to let go of the control. But it gets to a point where you physically, mentally cannot do it alone anymore. And that's where I was at. I was at a point where I was working until 2 a.m. I was, you know, because I've got my clients in a different time zone. So I'd be up until 2 a.m. I had all these situations, you know, my health was taking a toll because I had absolutely no time. Like I know people are like, oh, you can like get up and go for a workout. But like for me, I'm like, that's 2-3 hours that I don't have, you know?
Yeah.
Like I think when I got to that point where like I stopped caring and taking care of myself, I was like, okay, this is something has got to give, something's got to change and you need help. So, you know, and it was also like listening to the people that are close around you. Maybe they don't understand your business model. Maybe they don't even know what you do, but they know you.
Yeah.
So I think like listening to those voices like around you being like, wow, like you haven't been sleeping. Like what's going on? And like really, listening to them because they can kind of sometimes see before you can what's going on, you know? So that's where I got to.
So obviously it is not an easy job to run your own business. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of stress. How do you stay inspired and excited as you do it?
I think, if I'm going to be completely honest and, you know, I feel like it's not easy to stay inspired. I think so many people are like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, it must be so amazing to wake up every day. And like, it's just not the way it is. Like there are days where there are weeks even where I'm not inspired and I know that I have to just keep going, but there'll be one day, 1 hour, one thing that happens and it will light up the spark again. And then I'll get my inspiration from those moments rather than like overall what I'm doing. So I think like the way for me to stay inspired is to appreciate those little things that make up the big picture rather than trying to, you know, take the whole, I guess like I heard this saying the other day where it's like, you know, focus on one step at a time, not the whole staircase. And I think, you know, especially when I was younger, like I'd be like, I've got to leap. But now, you know, just taking a step back and really focusing on those little moments, like those are what inspire me. But I think also too, like what we're talking about, changing things around, like figuring out like, okay, what's going to work overall long-term. Like for me, that's inspiring. So that I can create longevity, or, you know, figure out another way to make my business work. Like that's inspiring for me. And those are the moments, like when I have those light bulb moments, that, you know, that makes me excited and ready to like get to work and get things done.
Yes. I love it. That's a great answer. So I want to talk a little bit about you being this badass woman. So it seems like you have a lot of really strong female women in your life, strong female role models. How has that influenced you and where you've gotten today?
Oh, a lot. I think even since I was young, this goes, I know this is, you know, sounds so crazy, but it goes back to being a kid. I was very selective on who I would be friends with. Like I would, everyone would say they were my friends, but really, I had such great discernment with who was for me and who wasn't for me.
Wow.
And so I think, you know, and then also being in New York and like coming as this little Aussie girl that was so like, oh my gosh, like so happy and so like ready for anything. And these New York people were like pretty blunt and like, they weren't just going to be my friend, you know, like no one had time. So I think like just creating like these really strong relationships, they've really grounded me. Like as much as, you know, my parents and my family have like these women in my life, and they've really inspired me. And they're not necessarily like you'd think like, oh, your friend must be on this board and like have this company. And they, you know, not a lot of them do. Like a lot of them, like I have one in particular, one great friend, who is a mother of four. And, you know, she really, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
But there's things that she has taught me and helped me grow with that have helped me be the woman that I am.
Wow. I hope you tell her that.
I do. Especially in quarantine. It's like, you got time for essays, all sorts of stuff. But, yeah, so that's what. And that is something too. Yeah. When I look around, I have girls that are like my girls that are killing it in as far as like, you know, career wise and, you know, they're art directors and they're, you know, I've got a girlfriend that's got a hairline, like a hair product line that she's and doing workshops for women of color. Like I have friends like that, but then I also have, you know, these friends and, you know, dare I say just a mom that have really been the ones that have grounded me and like brought me back down to earth when, you know, things have gone bad in business or, you know, I feel like I can't keep going, like those friends. And I think, you know, I think one of the biggest representations to me, or like validations, I'd say, of how like strong my group of friends are is my wedding. Because I had girls that had never met each other or like just heard, you know, because I heard about each other or seen photos of, you know.
Yeah.
So I knew a little bit. But around the wedding time, like I saw so many bonds and friendships made from all these strong women in my life coming together and like finally getting to meet and be around each other. So I think that was like just something that just really showed me like, wow, like this tribe of women around you are so special and they each bring something to your life, to inspire you and, you know, to help me keep going.
That's so amazing. And that's such a thing. It's so unique to women. I feel like to have that just nurturing, uplifting little tribe.
Exactly. And I just love that they're all, you know, a lot of people like, oh, these are my high school friends. These are my, these friends. And it's like the same group of women that all know each other. But all of my friends are people that have absolutely no connection with each other other than me.
Right.
So for them to like be able to connect that way and, And just even seeing them uplift each other, like on social media, like if it's someone's birthday, someone's posting them. And you know, that whole connection was from us just meeting and being able to be together. And I think it just really makes me happy.
I love it. That's so cool. So speaking of relationships, your 1 year wedding anniversary is coming up.
Yes. Oh my gosh, you remembered.
So congratulations, a little early. But you have found a man who I would say is truly your equal in terms of success, ambition, hard work. How has that relationship strengthened you in your life? And has it been difficult to find balance between your business and your personal life?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, one of the biggest struggles with having your own business is your personal life. Because, you know, with social media, I have clients that follow me online. It's like there's a big blur of the lines there with personal and work. I would say, yeah, the struggle has been real a lot of the time. And it's just knowing when to stop working, knowing when to just put down the laptop, I'd say, you know, and get back to, like, you know, just hanging out and together, or having a meal, you know, sharing it together and making sure that I'm not on calls during that time. I think one of the biggest things for me is, like, you know, my dad being an athlete, I always said I would never end up with an athlete. But I, you know, one of the things that he understands is work and how much time goes into doing what I love and what I'm passionate about. And I feel like, I mean, I know it's not with every, I'm not saying every single athlete, like male athlete, is this way. But he just gives me the space I need to do what I have to do. And because I'm busy, it's like I'm not also like sitting at home waiting for him to come back, you know.
Right.
Because he has crazy schedule, like, you know, during a season. So, and I find that having my work and him having, you know, what he does has kind of balanced our relationship, because, you know, we're both working, we're both hustling towards our goals, and he understands my work ethic better than, like, anyone.
Yeah, that's so key. You can relate on that level and give each other space to be your own people and then come back and be together.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you grew up playing basketball, grew up in a sports family. And that's actually how we met. So yeah. I wonder, you know, what does it mean to you to have all of these different sides to you, the athlete, the fashionista, the entrepreneur? Why is it important as a woman to have this, you know, multiplicity?
I think it really, it really shapes kind of who you are and what you can bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many things that I've learned from playing basketball and being in a team environment that has helped me with running my business. Mm-hmm. There's things that have helped me, like, you know, I don't know, with my confidence, with like my fashion in basketball. I don't know how that, I know it sounds crazy to try to translate or mix the two, but I really feel like having multiple interests helps, like, ground you and kind of level you out. Mm-hmm. Because if I was all only, you know, work, and I didn't take time out to, like, you know, acknowledge the basketball and, you know, the athlete that I used to be, or, you know, do that these days by, like, being and playing in, like, basketball leagues, I feel like it would consume me. Mm. And having other outlets and other, you know, because right now, like at the moment, like basketball is a stress reliever for me.
Yeah.
And that's why I did it. And so to, like, go and play basketball on a Sunday and then start my week fresh on a Monday and get right back to work, like, that was so important for me to have an outlet. And I think, like, as women, we really get grouped into boxes. Yeah. And that was one of the reasons why people had a hard time understanding me, especially when I first got to America, because they're like, wait, black, she's an athlete, she plays basketball, but she's also in fashion PR. And, you know, and then now everybody else is like, oh, wait, and she's a WAG? Like, and so for a lot of people, it's like, this doesn't make sense. But, you know, for me, it's like, it's really helped me having these outlets, because it's, if you're focusing and so consumed by one aspect of who you are, it, I just feel like it's not healthy to only dwell on one area of you, because we can be multiple, you know, and women are, we do, we take on, we wear so many hats. So I think, yeah, it's super important to make sure that we acknowledge everything.
It seems like you were meant to break out of those boxes since you were very young.
Yeah, I guess I was always, my dad always said I was very unique as a kid, but yeah.
Love that.
definitely helped. And coming here and being in America, I just feel like, as much as there's so many crazy things going on in our country, there's so many opportunities here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's definitely like a great place to really start and work.
Awesome. Well, we're going to finish off with a little lightning round. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions and just, you know, share the first thing that comes to your head. Okay. So, number one, what scares you?
I guess failure.
Okay. What are you most proud of?
I would say my integrity.
Yes. When are you at your best?
When I'm fulfilled in all areas of my life, not just the one with work.
How do you define success?
Happiness.
And how do you want to be remembered?
By somebody that paved the way for people like me, that look like me, in my industry, and just somebody that girls can come to. I just want to inspire people that they can, that they have everything they need to do what they want to do and be who they want to be.
If you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned for more to come, or visit lizmariestrategy.com for more resources, stories, and insights for creatives and entrepreneurs.